Right, it's 12 minutes past 8.
The Chris Moyle Show. Today with Michael McIntyre.
He gets his own jingle. Here is Michael McIntyre. Look, finally, he appears.
Good morning.
He appears in the studio like the man that he is.
Thank you very much. Hello, Dave.
Very nice to meet you, Michael.
Hi, Chris.
Hello, Michael.
I got to talk into the mic, right?
Yes, you do.
Hello, International Radio 1 listeners.
You must have been on Radio 1 before, though.
Only once. It's
really?
Too cool for me, Radio 1.
No, it's not.
I thought it was the coolest thing in the world until I just saw the window to one extra over there.
Well, what are you trying to say?
They wipe the floor with this place.
You think so, really?
It looked very cool.
When have you been on Radio 1 before?
I was on the show with Annie Mack, the lovely Annie Mack.
Right, okay. Did you
and
come
it was
in?
Just, yeah, I came in on it. I sat right here. And it's just full of, you know, people wearing hats like that.
Right.
They haven't had haircuts. I mean,
sure.
You have an excuse.
Mm. Yeah.
And they're just way too cool for school. And then Kelly Osbourne walked in and she was just riffing on stuff. It's almost like they just leave it recording and people just act very, very cool. That's how I see Radio 1.
But then there's also people like myself and Dave keeping it real.
Whereas Radio 2 is much more easy for me.
Right.
People just come in and go, what jokes do you want to do? And then I just tell them. They laugh hysterically and it all looks very good. Whereas this morning makes you feel quite tense, to be honest.
But listen, you're a young man. You should be all over Radio 1. You know, this is Radio 1
Yes, but
1
look
for
at
you.
The state of me. I'm not cool.
It doesn't matter.
I've tried to be cool, Chris.
It doesn't matter. I mean, by the way, you are cool. I'm not saying you're not. I'm not agreeing with you. When I say it doesn't matter, I mean you are cool.
Well, maybe it starts now. Maybe it starts now. It's a pleasure to be here, and I love the show. And I've never listened to it from 6:30 before because
it's
a bit early. But I did this morning because I have to get up very early.
Right.
I love the way you start the show.
Did you hear
it's supposed to be a breakfast show.
The opening monologue.
Just went, I'm knackered. I am so knackered. Could you get up? I couldn't. You're supposed to be getting the nation awake.
I've got news for you as well. For all those mornings that you've missed and you've never heard the start of the show, it's pretty much the same every day.
I thought it was brilliant.
Because
it perfectly reflects the listener. Can you move? I can't. I don't think I can move. I can't go in. You're already in.
We've done it for 5.5 years and it doesn't get any easier.
We wake up with
natural.
Everyone else, you see.
Yeah, that's how people wake up. I think it's wrong for a breakfast DJ to go, come on, what a wonderful day. It isn't.
You'd be like that guy in Jerry Maguire, you know, the sports agent they keep cutting to. I wake up every day and I go, yes. I wake up every day and go, no. Mm. That's how I wake up.
Even when it's a really nice weather like it has been this week, it's still chilly at 6:30 in the morning.
Exactly.
Nothing's good in the world. It's just miserable people sweeping and waiting for the day
but
to start.
But do you know, I thought you'd be used to the early mornings. You've got a couple of kids, right? I thought you'd have been up.
Yeah, well, because I'm working a lot late. Thank goodness my wife is up. I mean, I'm, you know, she's going to be listening and, you know, she does an amazing
job. Good morning, wife.
She's up at like literally 5:30 every day. It's not very pleasant. The kids are up at 8. She just loves the mornings.
So, Mum, shush.
She's down there watching the news hour on GMTV. Going, this is great. I like it.
Because there's that pre-GMTV GMTV.
That's right.
With Frank Stapleton.
It's serious.
They just repeat over and over again the news.
Yeah.
The news.
But that's when you know you really are up too early when he's on there, when you're up before the breakfast telly piece.
Before Ben Shepherd, you're up way too early.
The day should never start before Ben Shepherd.
No, exactly. And I don't believe it does.
Pre-Shepherd time.
Let's talk about Michael McIntyre.
I heard you mentioning you got the truck. Does that mean you watched
the show?
Yeah,
upstairs. Oh, no, it's here.
Because I've got one as well. I got one when we started the show. Look, Michael McIntyre's Comedy Roadshow. I take it you have a truck.
Yeah, of course, I drove it here.
No.
Three bays.
a toy.
How many meters am I having to feed?
Look, there's your truck.
It's a marketing gimmick to make critics write wonderful things about the show.
I like it because it's this one is full of money. It's full of coins when you pour it out.
That was mooted as a suggestion.
But it is a statement of intent, though, because, as we said, they've produced these trucks, which means that, obviously, you know, they're putting their weight behind you.
Yes, that's right.
If the BBC...
With a toy truck.
I'm
having trouble getting... Because, Dave, I listened to the show. I've never met you or seen you before. So I'm just adjusting to seeing your face and your voice.
Is it weird?
Because I keep looking at this guy, but I keep hearing this guy from the radio.
I know.
So I'm trying to marry the two.
I'm sorry.
But be honest, Michael, you're massively disappointed.
No, that's
most people are.
No. Because I have to say, I really enjoy the show, and I think you're all very, very funny.
You said that the first time I met Michael, I did 8 out of 10 cats. And I met Michael,
That's
he was
right.
sitting in a makeup chair. I don't know why, because he's naturally lit.
Yeah, sure.
I think he was doing it to just appease the makeup girl. He said, sure, put makeup on if you want, I don't need it. And he didn't. And he said, hello, and we have one of those awkward conversations, and I'm no good at meeting people. I feel very uncomfortable, as you know, when I meet people. So Michael's sitting in the chair with his back to me, obviously, but he's got the makeup mirror, so he can see me. So I walk in and hear this voice go, hello, Chris Moyles! And I turn around, and of course there's nobody looking at me. And because it takes you a second to go, oh, there's Michael in the chair. How are you? And he kind of puts his hand out to say hello, and I go, hello, and he goes, I must say, I listen to your show, I think it's great. And I go, I obviously have a reply, which is, thanks, or do you, really? And he goes, no, I do. And then we end up having a conversation. He goes, no, I do. I listen. I get up in the morning and I hear your show. And he's kind of bent round at an angle while a woman's trying to put makeup on him. And I'm kind of there going, oh, thank you. It's very nice to meet you. And it's all a bit bizarre. And people are milling around who've done that show all the time. As cool as anything. Like, you know, Jimmy's kind of walking around going, hello, everything okay? Hello, have you met?
It's a very strange, that pre-show environment is very, very odd. Because not only, because it's men being made up, which is not the most comfortable situation.
No.
Especially men like yourself who are very cool, having to be put through that situation.
Know about that,
well, you know, you've also got those people doing those roly defluffers. So it's one of the strangest moments in your life when you've grown up working on the comedy circuit with these comedians, and suddenly you're standing there being defluffed by three women whilst chatting about, so how's things going? How are things going? I'm currently being defluffed. Things are going all right.
it's very bizarre.
But it's weird when you try to work the mirrors, because you didn't know I was looking at you. It's the same in minicabs and stuff. I never know. Are we going to be looking at each other?
I know, that's the thing.
In the gym, which I have been to once.
Wow, I didn't know you pumped iron.
Well, there are so many mirrors everywhere that you can actually see any angle of any person. Including, you know, dare I say, attractive women.
It's fine.
You just got to look for it. You've got to work the mirrors, because it reflects off like 9 or 10 mirrors, and
absolutely,
there it is. There is the money shot.
I know. And by the way, if Michael's wife, if she is listening, don't forget, when he looks at women in the gym,
totally
all he's doing is looking for new material.
That's it.
That's all it is. When he's looking at a woman, he's not looking at a woman. He's looking at a woman so he can think about what it's like when you walk down the street and you look at a woman. It's all research.
I'm putting myself in the mind of men who I need to appeal to.
That's exactly what it is. It's all research.
Totally.
Like when Dave gets caught watching Babe Station, he's not watching Babe Station. He's coming up with a song parody about late-night television.
Babe Station is one of these sort of latter nether regional Sky Digital channels.
So I believe. I normally only happen upon it en route to somewhere else.
Right, but there's a lot. There used to be just one Babe Station.
I don't know.
15 or 20.
Is there really?
It takes a lot to wade through them.
Why don't I wade through them?
Okay.
I have them on my favourites on the blue button.
But it looks like the girl is almost like in her spare room. You half expect her mother to walk in at any moment and go, Barbara, what are you doing? Barbara, who are you talking?
I think on some of them they probably are.
Why is your bottom in the air? Could you not get a signal?
You should go down and do it. You should do half an hour. Hello.
Just give them
something slightly different.
I met one. One of them came to my show.
One of the babes.
And I said, you say what you do for a living, and it tends to be very, very boring. You know, I'm in IT is the sort of stock answer. She said, I'm on Babe Station.
Do you know what? That's really sad. I probably wouldn't have asked her what she did. I might have recognised her.
Hey, look who's here.
Because Dominic, who reads our news, is not here. He's on paternity leave. We were walking out the studio complex one day and a girl walked in and Dominic goes, hi. Oh, hiya. You're all right. And she goes, hi, how are you? And we walked off and he goes, she's really familiar. How do I know her? And we found out she's one of the Babe Station girls.
Now, so
he says, no, I thought she was somebody else. And I'm like, well, you've done it now. You can't go back. It's recognised her.
You're watching a film, you're like, what was she in? What was she in? Oh, a porno.
Yeah. She was in fishnets on the phone. That's what it was. Do you know which one you met? Can you remember the name?
I don't know, but it was huge excitement. The audience
Angel?
Were very excited. She was there with her boyfriend. And she did say quite interestingly that she has to... it's not that erotic. I feel we should change the subject.
Feel free at any point.
Okay. But anyway, yes, the producers are nodding now.
See, now I'm dying to find out.
Tomorrow night, 9:30, is my Comedy Roadshow.
And will you be talking about the Babe Station girl on the Comedy Roadshow?
Even though it's past the watershed, I don't think I will be.
Oh. See, now I'm disappointed.
You can tell us the rest of that story, Jim.
No, I will. I think I will. I just suddenly, I looked around, caught the producer's eye, and she went, there's no delay on this show. We've already briefed you.
Okay, so the show starts tomorrow. Saturday night, 9:30.
Saturday night. I've looked at the weather forecast. It's bad. It's not good.
Don't. Stay in.
That's
right. Good.
Don't
for
forget for a moment we're in a recession. You've already paid the license fee. You have to get your money's
license
worth.
License for money. Mm. Right.
There could be. I've heard of extreme weather conditions. The warning is: do not leave the house unless it's absolutely necessary.
Stay in.
Satellites are probably going to be down. Whoa. Focus on BBC One at 9:30. And there's a whole array of stand-up comedians that you've never heard of who are very, very funny. It's like Britain's Got Talent, but they're all...
on the show.
We've vetted them all already.
So it's not just you?
Oh, no, there's lots of...
I thought it was just you.
Oh, no, not even remotely. There's like 24 acts in the whole series. We've got Sean Locke, who I know you're a big fan of.
Right.
Murray, Jason Manford.
I find him a bit scary, but I, you know...
He is quite scary, but he's tremendously funny.
Well, he's very, very funny, yeah. But I didn't, when I did 8 out of 10 cats, I had to sit next to him, and you sit there, and because I'm too shy to go, Sean, hi, it's me. I don't know if you... We met years ago before. I compared a club. I'm lovely to... So I go, hi... And then he goes, all right.
you are then, very good at meeting.
And then I'm not. I'm very uncomfortable in real life. That's what I. And then he kind of slightly turns his body and then basically does the whole show. And I sit there like I'm watching 8 out of 10 cats, forgetting that I should say something. And it's only when Jimmy goes, I mean, Chris, what do you want to say about that? And I go... Oh, right, yeah.
That's a danger when the people are being really funny on a panel show.
But aren't comedians...
You think you're watching, you're trying to turn it up.
Aren't comedians, for the most part, yourself excluded, because you seem like a very warm and friendly man, but aren't they normally quite scary, though? Like, comedians, when you meet them? Do you not think?
I wouldn't say scary, but some of them are... Like some comedians, it's really bizarre, but it's like anything. Some comedians are very outgoing and very make a joke every 3 seconds, and some are manic depressives who will kill you. Mm. So, and you know, that's what the, it's the
And they hide behind a routine mask.
They don't all hide behind
some
a routine,
do, though,
you
I
know.
Think.
Like let's be honest, someone like Jimmy Carr is very transparent. Mm. You know, he's a posh man in a suit who listens to gangster rap. You get that, you know? And then there are other people. Who don't? I don't know where I'm going with this. I've no idea.
24.
But you know, you've met a load of comedians.
Like, yeah, they're like kind of they're normal people. I mean, they can tend to be a bit down.
Not all of them normal.
But it's a very, very, very strange life. Mm. Standing up and having everybody staring at you. Mm. And it's just a weird setup.
Do you know what? If you take the jokes away, it's like being a babe station girl. You know, you put yourself out there for people to stare at.
You do, and you just have to hope the phone rings. I don't really know how that's working.
And, well, because you're trying to satisfy...
It's hard to satisfy certain people. I just did a gig in Lyme Regis, which is quite a small... I've been doing these very small warm-up gigs towards the big tour at the end of the year.
Right.
And they announced me off stage, and nobody applauded. There wasn't a single clap. They just said, please welcome Michael Bangter. Nothing.
Really?
And I said to the person, I said, maybe the sound's not on. And he went, oh no, the sound's on. It's just that sometimes people don't show up here. They won't clap till they see you. So I had to...
Really?
I had to go out before they had a visual. They were all sitting there, arms folded, going, we've fallen for this before.
I think that's very sensible, though, you know?
So you're saying they go, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Michael McIntyre. Nothing
at all.
And then you go, do I go now? Seriously, they can hear me? So you go, okay. And then you walk out, they see you, and then they go, oh, he's here.
It took a while. Somebody at the front who they trusted had to give a positive ID.
Thumbs up as you look.
Don't worry, it's definitely him.
It's him. We've taken a swab, the result, we can trust them, but the results are out in 15 minutes.
Oh, man. That's good. All right, well, look, let's play record. And then I want to know more about the show, and I want to know... There's so many questions I have about you.
Oh, how exciting.
Mm-hmm. Do you like that?
What's the record? There's some songs I like in the charts now.
I was going to play... I was going to play the Paloma Faith record. Are you aware of Stone Cold Sober by Paloma Faith?
No, but I like the Noisettes. I like La Rue.
Okay.
These are the ones I like.
Well, maybe we can get them for you.
Okay.
In the meantime, Paloma Faith.
Yeah. I like this song. It's a good song.
It's a good intro.
One of the ones I like?
Yeah, this is a good one. I like it too.
Paloma Faith and Stone Cold Sober.
Told you it was a good one.
I liked it a lot.
And you know, it was good because it's only short. It's only a short record, so good. You can get it into
get
the news.
Back into the banter.
Sure. That's right. Well, we're going to have to break from the banter and do the serious news.
Oh, yes.
And then we'll come back and we'll do the hilarious banter. And did we mention Michael's new show? It's Saturday night at 9:30.
Should we do that?
Was just saying she
BBC
heard...
One and BBC HD.
Oh, you in HD?
Yes, I am. Wow. I didn't know this until I just saw it in the Radio Times listings.
What? Does that mean you have to have special HD makeup? How does that work?
Yeah, I think you have to have a lot of makeup.
Well, it's done a lot. But it's different. In fact, I believe it might be less.
Is it different makeup for HD? Well,
because it's so much clearer.
No, I told you that time when I saw Alan Hansen on Doing the Football, when it was on HD on the BBC, and on normal BBC One, he looked perfect, and on HD you could see he had dandruff on his shoulders.
Oh, see, why did you tell that story?
Well, no, but only because it was just really an example of the clarity of the picture.
So now Michael is now paranoid. He's going to sit there, he's going to be watching BBC One, he's watching a show with the wife on Saturday night, and he'll go, I just have to see what it looks like in HD. Oh, the shoulders are fine. I'll go back to BBC One.
Yeah, I'll check the shoulders.
Well, it might not have been dandruff. Maybe a bit of makeup.
Maybe that's what BBC HD is. You know, hair dandruff. Hmm. That's what it is.
But I've got a problem because I've got HD now, and I look at... You press that button to see what's on HD.
Mm. And it's always, you know... John Barrowman in Torchwood. Really,
it's Last of the Summer Wine.
There's nothing really on it.
And the BBC HD
Can
trial.
Can I tell you what else I've been doing? Yeah. This is quite good advice. I don't know if you have Sky Plus.
Yes.
But you can record things and watch them in different speeds.
Yes.
I've been watching Deal or No Deal in times 30. And it really whips along. You really... Just people frantically opening boxes. You see the graphic changing. It's quite exciting.
You can get through a whole episode in, what, 5 or 6 minutes?
Yeah, 5 or 6 minutes. Mm. And you realise it's a good or a bad one. And you can see if it's turning out good because that 250 is still there. Okay, back to times 6.
I'm really that geeky and bad now. This is from Allard, though, from working with Allard, that I know how long the commercial breaks are in certain shows. So if I'm watching in delay, like 15 minutes,
right,
and they go, right, we'll see you after the break. Mm. I go like that. That's okay, so that's 12 minutes into it. 30, 40, 50, 60, 17 minutes. Boom. Welcome back to part two. And I'm like that. Yes. And I get really excited if I get it bang on.
Do you do it without facing the TV?
No, I don't forward through. I go to user defined or whatever it is.
Oh, right.
And I put in the next time, press play, bang, look at that, I've got it.
An expert's going to...
But sometimes Channel 4 sell more adverts and it throws me. It's when their sales team do really well. It really throws me out.
We sometimes put the telly on pause while we have our tea so that we build up a gap, thus enabling us to watch the show without the adverts.
Yeah. No, that's really the way to play it.
So we sort of build up a gap about 12 minutes or something, then knowing that we can just...
But the idea is, if you miss the start of a show, or you can catch up, or if you get a very important phone call during your favourite show, you press pause. It wasn't designed so what you can do is sit there at 8 o'clock to watch the show that starts today, press pause and leave it for 10 minutes.
That's what we did.
And then go, should we watch it now, Jane? No, leave it another minute. Basically, it's 11. Okay, go.
You like to waste all the time in bulk rather than watching adverts. I'd rather sit and stare at a frozen image than watch advertising.
It sounds ridiculous when you say it, Michael. Yes, but that's what we do.
Okay.
I wish I was living in your house.
Hey, do you
remember
old school pause on the VHS?
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, it's a whole new world now.
I'm telling you.
Do you remember everybody moving around frantically? Mm.
Tracking. There's no tracking on your Sky Plus.
I used to love to have the amount of exercise I got. I'll fiddle with the tracking, darling. Now I have to have gym membership to make up for this.
When you tell the kids of today that in the olden days, remote controls had a wire attached to the thing. They don't believe you.
You had to move all your furniture.
How is it a remote control if it had a wire? Because you could sit on the edge of the sofa and stretch, but you wouldn't have to actually get off the sofa. See?
These were the good old days.
Mm. Oh, weren't they? Oh.
When you had to turn the tape down round in the car, there was no rewind.
No.
I mean, they worked out forward, but no rewind.
Yep.
It would take hours to rewind. You turn it down, you round, you forward, you turn it back round, you listen, you turn it back round, you forward. This is all exercise that we're missing out. When buses, you had to jump on buses.
Yes.
You'd never officially miss the bus. You were just endlessly running alongside and then hurling yourself. Exercise.
See? And as I said...
Standing in someone's lap, normally.
And as I said, this is why you're cool and should be listening to Radio 1 and not Radio 2.
Because it's about...
It's good.
Yeah, buses and stuff.
Black Eyed Peas and Boom Boom Pow. Michael McIntyre was just getting down. He turns out he's a massive fan of the Black Eyed Peas. He's loving the Black Eyed Peas.
Who, I met him.
Will I Am.
Yeah, I met Will I Am. We worked together in Barcelona.
I thought you were going to say Lyme Regis.
He's very into technology, and it was called the Global Mobile Phone Awards, and I hosted it. It was quite funny. At the beginning, I came out, and I said, they all applauded, and I said, thank you for that really lovely reception, apart from you, T-Mobile, which I thought was quite funny. But
nice.
They didn't laugh.
Good. That's a good gag.
But Will I Am was there, and it's hard to know what to say to Will I Am. It's all, I mean, other than hi, Will.
You call him Will or Will I Am? Dave calls him Willie I Am.
You Will I Am? He must get that quite a bit.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
But he was a very pleasant, very nice chap.
I don't think I've met Will I Am.
I don't think we've met any of the Black Eyed Peas, have we?
No.
It's a dream that we'll hopefully one day
we'll
come
true.
Should
have them in one pee at a time.
Do you know what I should do? I should go off and do corporate gigs in Spain, and then gradually over the year, maybe meet the whole of Black Eyed Peas. Mm. Maybe they farmed them out. Maybe she was doing the Farmers Awards.
Yeah, you never know who you meet at a corporate. I met... It just wasn't so much a corporate, it was a charity gig I did last year or the year before with Sir David Frost. And he called me to thank me for doing it, which was very exciting.
That's nice.
In the sense that I couldn't resist storing his number in my phone.
Oh, well, you got it.
Because he's a knight, Sir David Frost. It looks great on your mobile.
Absolutely.
I watched Frost Nixon last week and
it's
I was blown
great.
Away. Yeah. So at the end of it, and I know he's got
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
I texted him. And I just said, great work with Nixon. He's obviously got, who is this? Who's just sent me a text? Great work with Nixon. I just couldn't resist it. I didn't even sign it. I just sent it. I thought he needs to know.
See, now,
about 1 in the morning.
See, now, if he's anything like me, that text will sit in his phone now.
Yeah.
And he'll think, I need to save that in case I get another text from him in the future and I can compare numbers and try and work out who it is.
It would be nice if he was one of those paranoid people who phones back. Who are you?
Recently just lost all my numbers. Remind me, who is this?
That's always a good one.
But you know when you put like numbers in your phone? Yesterday, when I was driving home, I was ringing our friend Steve Marshall, and by mistake, I very nearly rang the neighbour of his in my phone, who's Steve Guttenberg from Police Academy.
Right, see,
and
now...
I very nearly rang him.
You've got Steve Guttenberg?
Yes, because he was on the show and he sat where you are.
But that's hilarious. So you can't help but keep numbers. You're never going to phone these
never.
People.
No, I know.
They're not your friends, but there's
but
nothing
look,
better than
look.
Going... I can confirm you have Steve Guttenberg.
I had Chaz from Chaz and Dave for ages.
You never ring him?
No.
Never ring him. I had Noel Gallagher's number in my phone and never rang it. And then one day I thought, you know, I'm going to ring it because he has my number and I have his number and he's never called me or texted me. But I'm going to call him. I've had his number for a couple of years. I'm going to ring him. And I rang him just to answer. Just went straight to Anne's phone. And then I thought, do I leave a message?
Was it him talking or was it?
No.
Then
I always think it's not their phone anymore, is it?
Yeah.
And the phone number's been given somebody else. So there's a bloke in Bury, right? And he gets a message going, hi Noel, it's Chris Moyles. And he's then going, oh, this is Chris Moyles. And then I get paranoid and I don't do it. And then I go to bed and hide.
Yeah. Well, you see, people tend not to answer the phone, do they?
Well, this is
when
it.
They don't recognise their number. Mm. It's a huge panic. And then every once in a while, you feel lucky, private number. I feel lucky. And it never works out.
No.
It's never anyone exciting.
It's never anyone
on a
exciting.
Private number.
It's often someone who's got your mobile number and they go, is that Chris Moyles? And you go, no, it's Michael McIntyre.
Or someone trying to give you a free kitchen consultation, which I seem to get on an almost weekly basis.
Do you? I don't get those.
Oh, do you not?
No.
Oh, for some reason.
Well, your kitchen is renowned for needing work.
The thing is that they keep ringing up and they're saying, can we interest you in a free kitchen? And I say, no, there's nothing wrong with my kitchen.
Oh, okay.
But thank you anyway.
You could jazzing it up a little bit, just making it a bit snazzy.
Yeah, no, but I don't want someone else telling me when I need my kitchen doing.
Dave,
I'd rather decide that myself.
You just need to say to them, stop calling me.
Is that what you do?
Take me off your list.
Do you let people in when the doorbell goes, like, late at night, not late at night, after 9 o'clock? Do you have, like, a cut-off? Do you even say, who is it? What goes on? Because I get very, very tense. I mean, I literally freak out and unbelievable when the doorbell goes after, like, even 8 o'clock. I don't know what to do.
People ring doorbells after 8 o'clock
they
where
do
you
in
live.
Right where I live.
No.
They don't do that.
See, no, we very rarely get anyone ring on the door after about 6. Unless it's trick-or-treating time.
Good. Okay.
It's only one night a year.
I don't know why everyone's ringing my bell.
Well, actually, where I've moved to, I moved last year, where I've moved to, they have a lot of door-to-door salesmen.
Yeah.
And I feel as though I've gone back 30 years when door-to-door salesmen used to exist a lot, and I didn't think they existed. I've lived in my flat for 9 years and nobody ever knocked on my door and said, hello, here's what I'm doing today. And since I've moved, the other day, 5:30 in the afternoon, a man rang the doorbell and said, do you want your steps cleaning?
Well, it sounds to me like he's improvised that.
And I'm like, no, I'm all right. And
it's the recession. He's walking along. He's like, I could make a few quid. Look at the state of those steps. Mm.
There was another man who rang the house one afternoon. He said, I'm very, very posh. I'm very, very sorry to trouble you. I'm an artist and I was just walking by. I'd love to draw your house. Would you be interested in me drawing your house? I have some drawings here of houses that I've done.
Oh, that's
And I looked at him and went,
A door-to-door artist.
I live in it. Why would I want a drawing of my house, of the house that I live in?
Well, in case you have too much to drink and you've got no idea where you
live. Put it in my wallet.
Yeah, you can get. You can hand it to a minicab driver.
Find it.
Dave, is that it? That looks like it. Mine's a bit more colourful, but this is just black and white. Mm.
I was at my friend's house the other day. Somebody turned up asking whether she wanted to buy chicken or fish.
Wait a minute, that's a stewardess.
Yeah,
that's a stewardess. That's a stewardess who's got lost.
It's a drunk stewardess. That's the biggest plane in the world.
Do you want the chicken or the fish?
I know. It's only down the road from me.
Chicken, fish or salad? I'll have the chicken fish, please. I like the sound of it. I don't really like salad. Anyway, look, let's play a jingle because Michael's got his own jingle. I don't know if you heard it. There you go. International
Radio 1. See? Thank you very much.
You're on Radio 1 now. You know, you get your own jingle.
I like that. I'm very, very honoured to have my own jingle.
Right, let me talk to Michael McIntyre about the man Michael McIntyre. If you know about him, it's you.
That's me.
The new show, which is Saturday night, 9:30, BBC One, is the Comedy Road Show.
Yeah, that's right, and it features lots of comedians.
So you travel around Britain, you bring comedians with you.
It's six shows. We're starting in Edinburgh, then we go to Manchester, and then we go to Birmingham, and then we go to Swansea, and then we go to Belfast, then we go to Brighton. And I just basically introduce the acts and tell sort of local jokes and keep the show moving. And then we have lots of fresh, new, unknown talent and some headliners that you know on at the end.
Tell me about the local jokes. Now, they're not like, oh, hey, God, that one-way system, everybody. And we're all sitting there going, I don't live there.
There's a little bit of that, I've got to be honest. There is a joke tomorrow night, which when I saw it back, I thought, that's very local.
Oh, I tell you what, I haven't been so nervous since they opened up the shop on the corner of Princess Street.
But then, you know, comedy can be like that. I mean, it is. That's the nature of it. That's why it's nice. I mean, obviously, there's a lot. It's a 45-minute show. There's a lot of comedians there. But I'm playing to the room, and tomorrow night happens to be in Scotland. And you know, I think if you're going to go on the road, it's better to address it rather than just have people laughing in a slightly different accent every week.
Yeah, no, you're probably right. I'm going to watch. So it's 9:30 tomorrow night, BBC One. Watch it, and God, if you're mental and you're going out, make sure you record it.
Yes, and watch it in a normal speed when you watch it.
No. Actually, if you watch it in times two, you can catch it on iPlayer.
I'm really enjoying iPlayer. It's good.
Do you use the iPlayer?
Yeah.
You know what the iPlayer does, Dave?
It makes you unmissable.
That's right.
That's a lovely line, that. Also, in response to a question you asked me earlier about my tour later in the year, these are none of the same jokes.
Yeah, somebody texted in saying, which I think is really good. I mean, there is a recession on. It's going to be value for money everywhere. I've got tickets to see Michael in wherever, one of the venues. If I watch his TV show and then I go see him live, will there just be all the same jokes?
Well, I can tell you that they're all different jokes.
There you go.
I've been working tirelessly towards the show at the end of the year. This road show is basically, like I say, local material.
Local material for local people.
And introducing... Very local to the theatre I'm in.
On show three, when he's in
new talent.
When he's in Birmingham, he does a very, very funny show about a guy who, a homeless guy who sits outside John Lewis.
Yeah.
And now, if you live in Birmingham, you'll love it. But if you don't, you know.
I have to say though, the last show, the series in Brighton, I went every show we did a couple of days early. I walked around, I chatted to the sort of locals, some warm up gigs, and tried to ascertain, you know, some local material.
Good.
In Brighton, it was my wife's birthday and something else happened. I never really got there. And there's no local jokes in Brighton.
Right. Well,
but I do jokes about going on holiday, which is quite funny.
That's fine. People in Brighton go on holiday. You're laughing.
Yeah.
Let me do some text messages for you. Michael McIntyre is the coolest. I love him so much, says Jenny, who's 13. Now, she's 13 and she says you're cool.
That's it. That's okay. 13. That's all you want there. That's an investment. There's a whole future for us.
You see?
The last thing you want... Well, no. Anyway, that's good. Please only read out the positive ones.
Matt in Newbury says, ask Michael what his favourite sandwich is. He never told us the other night.
Oh, that's true. I was talking about sandwiches the other night in my show.
What is your favourite?
Some really weird sandwiches. I asked everyone in the front row what their favourite sandwich was. One of them said minted chicken.
That's what he said.
Oh, it says it there, does it? Right. And the other one had a grape... a white grape sandwich. He would go and create his own bunch from other bunches in several different supermarkets of the palest green grapes, and then make himself a white breaded grape sandwich out of those grapes. Personally, my favourite sandwich. I'm always well, you never know until you're standing like in a supermarket. Like yesterday, when I stopped off at a sort of Sainsbury's local to pick up a sandwich on the way to the gig, presented with all the sandwich, I went for the all day breakfast.
I normally go for that.
Nice choice. Mm. I like it.
Because you can have it all day.
Yeah, you can.
But if it just said breakfast, I feel like I'd been restricted to a time zone. Mm. But because I had permission from the title of the sandwich, it being 3 o'clock. Fine, I'm having it.
3 o'clock in the afternoon.
I'm having breakfast now. People calling me out. What are you doing? Right now, I'm having breakfast.
It's the all-day breakfast.
You can only eat them up until 6 o'clock, because then it's not day anymore. Then it's an
favourite
evening
sandwich, time. Chris
Moore's? Mine? Well, it changes, obviously, but at the moment, it's a crisp sandwich.
But I do think that crisps are a great addition to any sandwich.
I made
but
one the
on
other
their
day.
Own.
Yeah, I made one the other day. My mum was visiting, and we had bread and crisps for whatever reason. And I looked and thought, I haven't made one of them sandwiches for years. I'll tell you what else I did recently as well: digestives with a bit of butter on.
Yes,
I haven't
on the
done
top.
That for a long time.
Digestives with butter,
biscuit.
Yeah,
with
that's
butter.
Very good. And cheese. Put some cheese on as
I
well.
I don't like cheese.
All right, okay.
That would ruin
it
for me.
To upset you.
Seriously.
Have you ever had sugar butties?
Sugar butties?
What?
What?
Literally
God's
just
name.
Bread with some sugar in and then another bit of bread on.
Oh, no, because I like crisps
butties.
And bread,
yes.
But I'm not insane.
Sugar butties? Yeah. Sounds like a rap group.
they're supporting the Black Eyed Peas and Lyme Regis.
Whoa, what's that? Where the sugar butties? Yeah, I'm DJ Mother's Pride. Here we go. Will it spoil the live show in October if I watch the television show? No. Okay.
All new, 2 hour, all new
all
jokes.
New.
I'm working every night.
Every night.
I was in Bracknell last night. I'm going to the Lake District tomorrow. And every night I'm going to see small theatres. Trying to build up this show, which is going very well. I'm very happy with it, but
good.
All new jokes.
How much have you got it all written yet, or is it?
I've got about an hour and a half.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
So pad it out a bit. There's your 2 hour show.
Yeah, that's pretty much. I'm just going to slow it down.
Please tell Michael I think he's amazing, and I clap before he walks out on stage in October. So there you go.
Oh, that's very good. Thank you.
Many people have got tickets to see you. This tour's selling well.
Yeah, I'm going to do Wembley. For four nights in the O2
Wembley Stadium
nights.
For four nights.
Arrogantly, I did show up at the stadium, but it's the arena.
So it
where
goes,
is everyone?
He's like that. Seriously, don't put me in here for four nights. I'm never going to fill it. It's a barn. Look at it.
But I suppose four nights in the arena almost totals the stadium. Maybe I can.
I would
just
imagine it probably does.
All head to the stadium.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm doing this big tour, and that's why I'm terrified and working so hard.
Four nights at Wembley Arena and the O2 you're doing as well.
I'm doing three nights there.
See, yeah. Wow.
Three lights there. Good. I've never been there. I'm going to see Madonna.
That's great.
Have you? It's good. Have you seen Just
venue.
Music?
Then? Yeah, I've just seen Just Music here.
Right, okay.
But I've been there a lot. I've seen a lot of gigs there. Yeah.
But it's a really great addition, this this arena.
It's great, because I never went to the Millennium Dome.
No, no.
Because I'd
people
seen it on TV and thought, why would I want to go there?
Yeah.
It's massive. There's not much in it. So it looks rubbish.
Yeah.
Whereas this place is, look, there's, you know, you get burgers and beer and watch concerts.
And the sound is good and everything.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
And the transport links are good as well, because the underground pops up just by the arena.
And you can get the boat down the Thames.
Mm. Yeah.
And it drops you off at the O2.
You can get the boat.
Yep.
You can get a little boat that takes you from town, London town.
I've just had it. I'm in a jet ski to my gig. I've just.
You should.
I'm going to have to do it.
They would. They'll probably lay that on for you.
I'm going to build a waterway right onto stage.
That would be amazing. You can come on like a James Bond.
That should take 10 minutes. I've only got another hour and 20 to write.
It's going to take you 20 minutes to get the wetsuit off, Ben.
Oh, great! This is all helping me with the material.
Good evening. Bear with me a second. I'm just going to. Has anybody got any talcum powder? I need to. You might want to pop out to the loo. It's really quite tight getting this off. Right, more text. Seen Michael in Derry with Keelty. Warm-up show, brilliant. Paddy in Derry.
Yeah, that's right. We did our show in Belfast and the road show, which is going to be show 5.
Right.
And so, yeah, me and Patrick Keelty, who's headlining the show in his hometown in Belfast.
Keelty doing stand-up?
Yeah, in
he's
Belfast.
He's written some material?
He's written...
it's got to be 10 years, isn't it?
He's written quite a lot of material.
Wow!
And he'll be headlining the show. It was a heroic welcome in Belfast. And we went, a couple of nights before, we went to do some warm-ups around Northern Ireland.
Right.
And, he doesn't hold back.
No, no, he, no.
Ever.
You know, to see him in in Northern Ireland, he really mixed it up.
It's his place.
He really did. It was very exciting, and the show went really well. So yeah.
Do you know Patrick Keilty has a DeLorean?
He doesn't. What, yes. from Back to the Future? Back to the Future?
Yes.
That is absolutely superb.
I know.
Because they were made in Northern Ireland, weren't they, the DeLorean?
That's true, they were. Mm. That's true.
I love the fact that...
Does it have a top speed of 88 miles an hour?
I know, well, and I've never seen him in it. I've seen photos of it, and we've talked about it, but I just like the idea of seeing... You see a DeLorean pull up, you go, it's the Back to the Future car, the door goes...
Do you know what I'd do if I had a DeLorean?
And Paddy Keilty comes out. Mm.
Yeah, right. Can I park here at this time of day? That's a terrible accent.
He's Welsh?
Can I just tell you what I would do if I had a DeLorean?
Yeah.
I would wait and wholly enjoy the nights the clocks go back. And then I'd get into the DeLorean with a competition winner. Then we'd go 88 miles an hour and go back in time 1 hour. It's a bit of fun every year.
That's nice.
Thanks.
You should do it. Mm. There's a bit of extra for the next DVD.
I might put in an offer for Paddy Keilty's DeLorean.
Oh, he was up for selling it last time he was in as well.
I know. I really want to buy it.
Do you know what I would like to buy, but I don't think I could do it?
Go on.
I just really like, you know, when you're a kid and you really crave a car, but obviously time moves on and those cars aren't cool anymore.
Right.
I'd really want like one of those Magnum Ferraris. You know those 328s?
Well, you know, you wouldn't turn it down if somebody offered you one. Nah, they're a bit old-fashioned, those.
No, I don't know. I don't know. Is it cool?
It's
or
a Ferrari. Yeah, it's any cool. Ferrari.
And it's a
cool.
Classic one because it was Magnum's car from the 80s.
Yeah, I quite like that. See, Eddie Murphy had it as well in Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah.
See, Dave went through a period of time where he was doing that, buying cars that he used to like.
I had a Ford Cortina. I had a white Capri.
A white Capri. My grandma had one of those.
Oh, well, hang on. I'm thinking more like Bodie and Doyle from The Professionals, not the fact that your grandma had a white Capri.
She used to work for the police service. She was one of their top agents. Mm.
The Capri was a great... Everybody loved the Ford Capri. The terrible Ford was the Granada. We actually had a Granada. A Ford Granada.
Colshaw's got a Granada, hasn't he?
Has he?
Yeah, I think John's gone through...
Gone through a retro phase?
Yeah, he keeps just buying old cars and doing them up. And then they kind of sit there in his garage, he buys another one, and it's like...
You can pick up those old rollers, those old sort of 80s Rolls Royces for about $5,000. Hmm. I mean, is that cool?
What you do is you get one of the old rollers and you put tinted windows in and you change the number plate so it looks like Sir Alan Sugar, but you just put a one for the eye, and then you go around out of the back seat just flicking the V's at people.
You know, that's his real car. I've seen that car out and about. I've seen him in it. That's his AMS-1. Yeah. That's his car.
That's right.
I love that. I love Sir Alan Sugar. Can't wait till this final.
So. What's your middle name?
My middle name?
Yeah. Or what's your middle initial?
I've got two, but okay. H and J.
Okay, so M, H, J, M, 1. There you go.
Mahajima.
A, M, H, J, 1.
What, as opposed to AMS?
AMS, AMS 1. Alan Michael Sugar 1.
And if you ever set up your own computer firm, you can call it Mahajimstrad.
I'll bear it in mind.
It's just a thought.
Thanks very much.
Michael McIntyre, my favourite comedian, no question. Like me, he's a Spurs fan. He did a 10-minute performance at half-time versus Man United this season. Absolute genius. Went down a storm.
It was a little bit cheeky, that one, to be honest. I was the more nervous I've ever been. They said, would you want to do this half-time draw on the pitch at Spurs Man U? And I just thought, well, I'm going to get 40,000 people being rude to me. You know what football fans are like. This is going to be a disaster.
Well, this is a White Hart Lane.
Yeah, it's a White Hart Lane.
Well, so what you're going to get is you're going to get 38,000 people being nice to you and 2,000 people booing you because they know you're a Spurs fan.
It was still very, very nerve-wracking. But anyway, there was a big thing because it was Dimitar Berbatov had just come back to Spurs and he was being booed the whole first half.
Right.
I love Berbatov. He's a fantastic player. And I really don't begrudge him, going to Man U. This is how football works. People change team. Other people go from smaller clubs and join us. This is what goes on. But I knew that I really had to play to the crowd. So I every time I drew a raffle ticket, I said, the winner is, and then I went, and the loser is Berbatov. And people were going mental. It was just the most exciting. And then, of course, once a comedian gets a laugh, you run with it.
Yeah.
And I maybe said some things I shouldn't have done.
Well, that's great. We got Nick in Hemel says, it was the best half-time raffle draw at Tottenham ever.
Well, that's an honour, because I understood Peter Cook did it once and also incited violence.
Yeah, well, you should have heard what he said about Berbatov. Yeah. That was terrible.
It wasn't complimentary.
Oh, but I would just like to say that at this time, I support all football teams equally, and my comedy roadshow is on tomorrow night at 9:30.
There's something for every football
fan. Hey, there's a guy I saw on Sky Sports News. He's the manager of Bury. His name is Alan Nil, K K-N-I-L-L. What a fantastic name for a full manager. If he has a son, he has to call him Juan. You cannot lose that opportunity. Here's my eldest, Juan Nil. How can you miss that moment?
Is it true, Dave?
Yes.
That there is a shopping mall in Liverpool.
Called Liverpool One.
And there is an Everton shop in there.
And the thing is, because Everton's main club shop is at the ground at Goodison, and then there's another one in the city centre. So the one at Goodison is called Everton 1, the one in the city centre is called Everton 2. Therefore, the address of the one in the city centre is Everton 2, Liverpool 1.
That's nice.
Genius.
That's very good. Right, listen, we've got to go and do the gold now. You've probably got to go off and do Michael McIntyre things.
That's my plan. You've just read my to-do list.
For the whole day, be Michael McIntyre. Brackets again.
Thank you very much for having me on your brilliant show.
You're more than welcome. And you're right, it is brilliant. And yours is too. And it's the Comedy Road Show. I have the truck. And it's tomorrow night, 9:30 BBC One. And on the show, do you know who's on the show tomorrow?
Yeah, we have Rod Gilbert headlining. We've got a wonderful new Scottish exciting talent, Kevin Bridges. We have one line of merch. Stuart Francis and the fabulous Mark Watson is also on as well.
Stu Francis is on your show?
No, this is what happened when I did Radio 2. Apparently, who is this guy? He's just a different guy.
Oh, I could crush a grape.
No, it's not him. It's not him. He's just whoever this grape crushing guy is.
Oh, I could crush a grape. Oh, I could jump over a doll's house. Oh, I could wrestle an action man. Thank you for your time.
I'm going to have to stop mentioning his other show because this is how everybody reacts.
Yeah, but he's getting lots of plugs, is this?
Okay,
Stuart Francis.
People want to tune in on the off chance that Stu Francis is on, please do.
But is he good, Stuart Francis?
He's a hilarious.
Is he as good as his namesake?
He's a Canadian one-liner comedian.
Oh, so this even better. So he would have no idea what Cracker Jack was.
He's got no idea, which is why he hasn't changed his name.
Oh, let's get him on. That was the most surreal interview ever. Ooh, could he crush a grape?
Could I what?
Could I crush a grape? We have a doll's house here. Would you like to? What do you want me to do with it?
You should definitely have a week where you book people who will have the same names as other people. Please welcome David Beckham.
Okay.
I like that.
Michael, lovely to see you.
Thank you, guys.
9:30, and all good. And good luck with the with everything you do. I was going to say things that we talked off the air about, and I'm not sure if we talked about on the air. Just good luck with all the things
that we talked about, thank you, guys.
Both on and off the air. Thanks.
Thank you very much,
Michael. Back in Thailand. The Chris Moyle Show, the Golden Hour, International Radio 1.